Hi, I'm Bruce Buffer, and you're listening to the Wade Neely Morning Show.
We mentioned some scattered showers. Hoping that holds off. Would love to sneak in a round of golf potentially this afternoon. And that's a perfect segue into our next story. If you have not heard of this young fellow, you will certainly hear the name many, many times, both on this show and on our website. So make sure that you check it out. Dan McLaughlin has quit his job to practice 10,000 hours and pursue a career in professional golf, and he joins us now way out on the West Coast. Dan, thank you first and foremost for getting up early this morning with us. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show.
Hey, not a problem, Dan. Caught your story, I believe it was Tuesday, maybe Monday was the first I'd heard about this, and immediately tried to circle the wagons and immediately make this happen. So, again, thanks for dropping by, and we'll just kind of dive right in here. You were a commercial photographer from what I've read. Doing pretty well for yourself. You suddenly decided to test this 10,000-hour theory. Can you give us a little bit of your thought process? What was going on there?
Yeah. Well, first off, I'd just like to say hello to Tennessee. You know, I actually started my career in photography in Chattanooga, Tennessee. So, you know, it's good to be talking to some Tennessee folks right now. And then basically in June of 2009, was when I originally had the idea that I wanted to basically have a complete career change. And after thinking about what all the different areas in the world that you could do, I basically came down to the conclusion that I wanted to test the theory that talent doesn't exist and that hard work determines everything in one's life. And kind of deciding or just pondering all the different areas to go into, I realized that golf being kind of uber competitive and a sport, which I'd never done athletics in my life, was the perfect avenue to test this theory. And I had never golfed before, so it made sense to just drop everything and put in 100%.
So you're starting literally from scratch. I made the comparison last night talking to some friends. It's essentially like when you create a character on Tiger Woods, you start with zero attributes. Kind of almost that in regard. What's been the toughest hurdle you've had to overcome thus far?
You know, well, because of the method in which we approached it, we're working away from the hole. So at the beginning, last April 2010, I was only allowed to putt from 1 foot away from the cup. And then as soon as I got to a specific, success rate, I moved to 3 feet and then 5 feet. And then after 5 months of only putting, finally picked up a pitching wedge and started chipping just from the fringe. So I would probably say the first 5 months is that the mentally staying in the game and staying focused when you're only allowed to putt 6 hours a day, 6 days a week, that was the biggest hurdle. That's what my coach and I have talked about. Basically, the hardest part of the training is behind us, because the further we go, the more clubs we get, the more that you can diversify what you do in a day and kind of keep it mentally stimulating as well as challenging.
Dan McLaughlin and our special guest, we're talking, it's the danplan.com. You mentioned this, it's kind of a very formulaic approach. Is there a specific checklist, I guess, a specific set of goals you have to hit before you can move on to the next facet of your game?
Yeah, we look a lot into kind of the PGA Tour averages at certain distances, and I mean, we're very aware that it's completely different practicing and actually playing in a tournament, but at the same time, you have to at least be at those levels in practice before you could produce that in a tournament setting. So right now, we're basically getting up to what would be a PGA average for the different distances, and then once I can get to that level, we move further back. So I'm currently playing from 100 yards away from the hole.
Yeah, we're talking, you mentioned golf. You never picked up a club prior to this project. How, I'm curious, and I'm sure a lot of folks are, how do the reactions go over when you tell your loved ones, your family members, and your friends? How did that reaction go when you told them you were pursuing a career in professional golf?
I think that probably the first 6 months they had no clue how to react. But then now that I've stuck with it for this long, since I've been in it for over a year, I think they've actually kind of warmed up to the idea and understand its value. It's not just somebody, you know, retiring and just kind of playing leisurely golf. I mean, it's a very intense physical and academic pursuit, and what we're doing is a little bit bigger than just trying to get down to like a scratch golfer. I mean, it's trying to help prove human potential. And so I think my loved ones, you know, they probably thought I was extremely crazy for about 6 months of my life last year, and then they're slowly starting to warm up to the idea.
It's certainly remarkable. You mentioned, my question is, how did you decide on golf? Were you consider ever testing this theory out in other venues?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I had thought about pretty much anything. But the criteria was that I really wanted to do something that was going to get me healthier. You know, because in commercial photography, right, most jobs are, you just kind of sit around a lot and you get a little stagnant. And I wanted to do something that was physical, outdoors, healthy, something that was a constant challenge. And I mean, all those reasons and all the different things you could choose in life, I mean, golf just appealed to me. And then also I never played golf, but I always had this calling. Like, anytime I ever heard somebody talk about it or saw it on TV or saw somebody playing live, I mean, I just always had this feeling that it was something that I could and wanted to do, but I just never had the opportunity to pick up a club until last year.
There's a infamous quote by Bobby Jones that said that golf is played on a 5.5-inch course, the one between your ears. How big of a role is sports psychology and mental preparation? How big of a role is that taken up in your 36 roughly weekly training hours?
It's a huge role. It's not actually literally included in the training hours. The training hours only include time that been directly over a ball, because Dr. K. Anders Ericsson, who's one of the people who developed the entire theory of the 10,000 hours, I mean, he basically, his idea is that you can't prove that you're getting better unless you're actually engaged in the practice. So physical exercise, you know, going to the gym 5 or 6 days a week, that's not included. And then the mental training part, the kind of the different, you know, meditative states and things that Christopher and I and are working on that side of the game are kind of just like externalities and things that you have to do to reach a certain level, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's making you a better golfer.
Right. You mentioned the story. As we well know, it's obviously been picked up. If you look at your website, you can see tons of articles, tons of press releases. The story certainly has gone national now. Did you think the story would get this big, and did you and your training calculations account for this type of exposure over the course of this 6-year plan?
No, you know, I didn't really. I mean, you know, being a major sport, I knew there were people that were interested in golf, and it kind of played a little bit of a role in choosing what I wanted to do, because the point of showing that hard work can get you far in life is only illustrated if people are paying attention. So if nobody's paying attention, then, you know, I could spend 10,000 hours basket weaving and become the best in the world, but there would be such a small niche of people that could, you know, view that it would almost go unnoticed. So, I mean, I did kind of think that golf would have a little bit of exposure to tell a story, but I never really expected, especially this early on after 1 year, that any media attention would come along. But I think the good thing is that the small amount of pressure of having some media attention, it makes me have to focus that much more. And down the road, in the long run, in tournament settings, it will be a good habit or aspect of my game to have worked on.
Dan McLaughlin is our special guest. The website is thedanplan.com. You can follow him on Twitter. It's @thedanplan. You're approaching 2,000 hours, Dan. Obviously, outside of, you know, making the PGA Tour, what are some goals are you trying to accomplish out of this project? Is that the direct end result, or will you be satisfied with some other goals?
Making the PGA Tour is the ultimate goal. I think that, you know, it's necessary when you're setting goals, especially longevity goals over a six-year period. It's really necessary to kind of shoot for the moon, to have that stretch goal. I don't really have any secondary goals. I think just putting 60 years of your life into something new that you really have, you grow a passion for, you're going to learn a lot about yourself and about the way the world works. So, you know, the worst case scenario is just that I'm going to know a lot more about myself and know about this whole new area of the world that I didn't know anything about beforehand. But as far as the goals go, I mean, it's just to get on that PGA Tour. You know, it's, of course, not talking about being number one. You know, my it's just getting there and being one of the top 250 in the world. I think that it would be an ultimate goal.
That would certainly be one of the most insane stories, I would venture to say, of all time. You mentioned it's not necessarily a goal to you know, win a major or anything like that. If you were an odds maker, though, what would you set the line potentially on you winning a PGA Tour event at some point in your life, you think?
Well, I think if you could make a bet right now, and you'd be pretty good off putting a dollar on it. I think you could retire in the long run after that if I was to win a major. You know, I think the odds currently, I mean, they're astronomically higher than they were a year ago today. But I would still say that a million to one would not be overestimating the odds.
Well, if it's a million to one, I'll put down $5 on it if that's the case, then.
Yeah, okay.
So with that being,
you know,
what's that?
Oh, what's that?
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, but every day as progression grows, I mean, those odds are just whittling away, so, you know, in a year from today, who knows, maybe it'll be 100,000 to one, and 2 years from today, maybe it'll be 10,000 to one, and, you know, get those odds down to about 5,000 to one, and we got a good chance.
So by now is basically what you're suggesting here.
Yeah, exactly.
So also a few final questions here. What's the thing over this year and a half that you've been most proud of with yourself and your results thus far?
You know, I think just sticking to the plan. I think anybody can have a good idea, but it's the follow through that makes for a great person and a great story. That was actually a Richard Branson quote, the Virgin Airlines CEO. I'm just proud that I've stuck through for the first year. A lot of people say that, you know, you're just golfing, it's really easy, but it's not like that, because when you're actually literally trying to get better every day, you have frustrations and achievements on a daily basis, and just being able to kind of mentally stick through and grind out that many hours for that many weeks is, you know, I'm proud of myself for doing that.
Outside of your family and your loved ones, who has been the most supportive, possibly? You mentioned some coaches. Also, I believe you're involved with Nike and some other potential sponsors. Can you give us a little insight on that, potentially?
Yeah. Well, my swing coach, Christopher Smith, he's based out of Oregon, out of Pumpkin Ridge Golf Course in North Plains, Oregon. He's been a great person to have on the team. And then a physical therapist, Sean Daly in Lake Oswego, he's been extremely supportive the whole time. And so those two guys have really helped me along and advanced my game beyond anything I could have done on my own. And then, you know, I mean, just generally friends. Like, you got to have a good set of friends to do anything like this.
It's certainly a great undertaking. If you had to model your game right now, if you admire someone, I guess, as a PGA Tour golfer, who would you possibly want to eventually end up or compare yourself to, I guess?
You know, I really like the young guy, Rory McIlroy. I think that he kind of had a tough time at the Masters, but he's still only 21, so he's going to be coming back, and I kind of like his style of play, so it would be fun to play along with him one day.
So that would be certainly the story. Dan, I want to first and foremost, again, thank you for taking some time out on the West Coast. What's your schedule look like for today, potentially?
Well, you know, it's pouring rain right now and about 45. 75 degrees, so I'm just going to do my morning stretches and then strap on some rain gear and hit the course. I got about 4 hours of putting to do. We're kind of fine-tuning some aspects of the swing and then probably go out and play 27 holes from about 100 yards and just kind of judge at the beginning of the week where my game is and where my weaknesses are, and then I'll know for the next 5 days what I need to work on.
Good deal, my man. Well, thank you so much for, again, taking some time this morning, and we will certainly have to get you back on the show sometime again to keep you guys updated. You may have a bigger, stronger contingent in Tennessee now thanks to the morning show appearance this morning.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you guys having me on, and I'd love to talk in the future.
All right, appreciate it. Dan McLaughlin, our special guest. The website is thedanplan.com. Once again, you can follow him on Twitter. It is at thedanplan. You can follow us on Twitter. It's at WadeOn1420. And you can read our article on Dan. It's www.wadeon1420.com. Thanks again, Dan, and we look forward to keeping in touch with him in the future. 9:47, your station time. We're going to take a quick commercial break. It will be our final one of the hour. And then once we're done, we're going to wrap things up. A little thing we like to call the big finish coming up at the top of 10 o'clock.